May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of our readings today was Psalm 95. Our readings for each Sunday are set out in what's called the lectionary, which over a three-year cycle takes us through a wide range of biblical passages and themes. Along with a gospel reading, another New Testament reading, and an Old Testament reading, a psalm is set for every Sunday, but we actually very rarely include it. And that's a pity, because the psalms are a vital and very rich part of the Bible, often quoted by Jesus and the writers of the New Testament. So I'm going to seek to counteract that neglect of the psalms today by speaking about today's very significant psalm, which essentially addresses two imperatives to us: worship God and listen to God. That second imperative, listen to God, is linked to a stern warning: do not harden your hearts. Worship God, listen to God, do not harden your hearts. Now, Helen and I say psalms every day as part of our pattern of daily prayer. We do so in a quiet, reflective way, and we warmly recommend this way of taking the psalms into your spiritual bloodstream. But the original setting of the psalms would, I think, often have been very different from the calm of Anglican daily prayer. We can tell from what we read in the Psalms and other parts of the Old Testament that the Psalms were sung in the temple in Jerusalem to trumpets and pipes, strings, harps, and cymbals, accompanied by dancing, bowing down, and kneeling. It was a powerful, sensory, bodily experience. So we can perhaps imagine ourselves as worshippers in the temple as Psalm 95 was sung. You might like to have sight of the psalm in the leaflet of readings to follow some of the things I'll be drawing out of it. We start in this psalm by addressing each other in song with a lively call to worship. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice. Let us come into his presence. Let us worship and bow down and kneel. The words are repeated, perhaps louder and louder, and our bodies get caught up in this powerful drama of worship. We are all together praising God with all that we are. The music, the singing, the dancing rise to a crescendo, and then suddenly, with a clash of cymbals, the music stops, and everyone is still. Into the silence, a single voice speaks with arresting authority. Oh, that today you would listen to God's voice. Do not harden your hearts. This psalm tells us that worship is a wonderful but challenging thing. In worship, we are drawn together into joyful celebration of God. But in the midst of our worship, if it is sincere, God lays hold of our hearts, and we must listen to God's word to us. So let's look at both parts, these two very different parts of this psalm, in turn. In the first part, firstly, I think it's striking that we address each other. The psalm is not actually directly addressing God. We say, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us worship and bow down. Worship, this is underlining, is not primarily an individual activity. Of course, we can and should pray on our own. We can even sing hymns on our own, though in my case, I suspect God finds this a rather painful experience. But at the heart of the Christian life is communal worship. We worship God fundamentally together. And in our life as a community, we hold each other to this. We encourage each other to persevere in worship despite all the pressures of the modern world to neglect it. Our message to each other is, come, let us worship the Lord our Maker. And we are reminded in this psalm very powerfully why we worship. We worship for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Many gods demand our worship. It was so when this psalm was written and still is today. Many gods jostle and clamor, demanding our attention, our devotion. Perhaps above all, the God, the idol, the false God of the self that so often squats stubbornly on the throne of our lives. But when we come to worship, we declare that God alone is worthy of our devotion, our ultimate loyalty and obedience. We come to worship the true God, the Creator, for as the psalm goes on, he's the maker of all things, the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains, the sea, the universe and everything in it, ourselves included, is the work of God's hands. But the psalm goes a step further, adding another reason vital to the identity of Israel and of the church. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. God is not a creator who made the world and then remains at a distance from it. No, this is our God. We are God's people. This is the God who brought Israel out of Egypt and made a covenant with them, making them his people. And this God of covenant love, this relational God, is the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead and calls us to be his people, sharing Sunday by Sunday in the Eucharistic covenant meal where God binds himself to be our God, and we know ourselves to be God's people, the body of Christ. I'm struck by the way the words hand or hands occur three times in just a short space in this first part of the psalm. That brings into focus our understanding of the God we come to worship and his action. In his hand are the depths of the earth. His hands have molded the dry land. The whole world is in the hands of the Creator. But more than this, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. God is not just our Creator, but our Redeemer, the one who has acted in costly love, has stretched out hands, wounded hands, to welcome us. And so we are to listen to the God we come to worship, our Creator and our Redeemer. That voice that breaks in so dramatically halfway through the psalm says, oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts. Fair enough, straightforward, you would think. Why would we not listen to the voice of the God we worship? But as Psalm 95 reminds us in its shockingly different second part, the trouble is that God's people have a history of not listening to God. In fact, we have a history of worshiping God one day and then the next day hardening our hearts, grumbling, refusing to listen, turning away in disobedience. So the psalm gives us a sobering history lesson. In verse 8, we read, harden not your hearts as at Meribah on that day at Massah in the wilderness. Now, these references to Meribah and Massah take us back to an episode in our first reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 17. And the backstory is that in Exodus chapter 14, just a few pages before, God has brought the people of Israel across the Red Sea, rescuing them with his strong right hand from oppression in Egypt and destroying their enemies. Then in chapter 15, as is only right and proper, the people sang a joyful hymn of praise. They do the right thing. They worship God. They thank God for his wonderful act of salvation. Now all they need to do is to obey God, to follow God's servant Moses, and they will come through the desert to the promised land. So what happens next? Well, in the following chapters, 16 and 17, from which we've just read, they run into some challenges. They get hungry. They get thirsty. It's not quite as easy as they expected to be God's people, God's liberated people, walking the way of salvation. And they start to grumble. I paraphrase. We'd be better off back in Egypt. We'd be better off without Moses. We're not so sure anymore of the God Moses talks about. We need to take control back into our own hands. They grumble. They stop listening to God. They harden their hearts. What does that remind you of? It reminds me uncomfortably of my own heart. Again, I paraphrase. Why is everything so difficult? So unfair. Why does nobody care? Things were better back then. Why are our church leaders so useless? I'd be better off dropping all that talk of trusting God. I need to take back control of my own life on my own terms like everybody else. I see myself very easily in this story of the fickleness of the people of Israel. One day worshiping God with joy and gratitude, seeking to listen with an open heart. The next day, grumbling about difficulties and challenges, anxiety eroding my capacity to listen to God, and my heart hardens. Now, throughout the Bible, in both Testaments, we are reminded of the danger of grumbling, often with reference to this episode in the wilderness and others like it in those years of wandering. Even in secular terms, if we leave God completely out of it, we all know that grumbling is really bad for you. Grumbling grinds down the grumbler, and it grinds down those who have to listen to it. It is very destructive. But we believe in and worship God, the God of covenant love, the God who holds our lives in his hands. So how much more should we discipline ourselves and learn to still the voice of the grumbler within us and create within ourselves the space we need if we are to listen instead to the voice of God. Today's psalm solemnly warns us to take this threat to our spiritual health very seriously. Having begun with such joyful worship, the psalm ends on a very different note, reminding us that the generation that grumbled against God and Moses in the wilderness did not make it to the promised land. They missed out. Through their hardness of heart, they cut themselves off from all the blessing that God held before them. So through these two very different parts, joyous, rumbustious, exuberant worship, and then this very serious warning, Psalm 95 is telling us that coming to church to worship God is both a joyful thing and yet also a very serious business. I mentioned earlier that the first part of the psalm focuses our attention on God's hands. The key word in the second part is hearts. Do not harden your hearts. This people are wayward in their hearts. God's hands, our hearts. God's powerful, loving hands at work in creation and covenant love, our hearts. All too often prone to wander, to stop listening to God's voice, to harden, and to get lost in a wilderness of bitterness and grumbling. But the wounded hands of God's love are always stretched out to welcome us. That's true every day. And we are especially helped to taste and embrace this truth every Sunday as we come together to the welcome we receive at the Lord's table. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts.